The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's music time. John Cadell from rockyoulike.com and Larissa Nolan are with us. And I told you about this a few weeks ago off air. I wasn't able to say anything at the time, but I'm really looking forward to the Foo Fighters coming to Dublin next year.
I completely forgot that you said that.
I tell you. There are some things I know occasionally, but I actually am able to keep a secret. Okay. And then you're not just able to keep a secret, you just forget what I tell you.
Yeah, but that's true. So you know your secret's safe with me because I'll just forget.
Okay.
Yeah,
Foo Fighters. That's what I'm looking forward to. That's my definite choice of gig I will go to next year in Dublin.
Good.
What about the two of you?
Okay, so I can't stand the Foo Fighters.
Ah, Larissa.
No, I mean,
and we always get on so well, the two
I know,
of us.
Normally we do. We're great. We're usually aligned with music a lot of the time. But Dave Grohl, I just find he does a lot of roaring and shouting. I mean, recently we heard that he'd strained his voice from overusing it. I always imagined that Kurt is there, you know, doing 360s on the top spin cycle every time the Foo Fighters come out, because they have this kind of formulaic type of singing, which is like, you know, the melody line follows the chords, and you know, it's all kind of roaring and screaming, and there's nothing really there of any sort of emotional depth. It's kind of the anti Nirvana for me. I've always been really disappointed that that's what is left behind of such a brilliant band. How many times have they played here at this stage?
I haven't seen them before. See, I only actually got into them in recent years.
But I just can't, every time it's like, I don't know, I just find that he's always kind of shouting his head off. That's all I hear.
Well, they do have a lot of growly songs. I wouldn't have thought Kurt Cobain was as precious as that, to be honest.
Who was more precious? I mean, like, he was probably the ultimate in preciousness, but it's like I just think that, you know, there's always this kind of overwroughtness to Dave. Is that a word? Overwroughtness?
Yes, it is.
To Dave Grohl, that I just find intensely irritating. And then I saw that he had kind of a nervous breakdown after Kurt died, and he thought he'd never play again. And I feel bad for saying that, but I just have never liked any of their music. Don't like any of their music.
Well, the thing about Foo Fighters music is it's good time rock and roll. It's meat and potato. They're the 21st century quo, Foo Fighters, I think. And there's nothing wrong with that. They write huge arena filling songs, great riffs. He's got a powerful voice. Taylor Hawkins is an incredible drummer. I like Foo Fighters, but I don't think they're a band that you can adore.
I just think it's going to be an enjoyable day out. Yeah, I can sort of rock along to.
Yeah, you're right. That's what it will be. But it won't be anything more than that. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Let's hear Best of You.
I've got another confession to make. I'm your fool. Everyone's got the chains to break. Holding you. Were you born to resist or be abused? Is someone getting the best, the best, the best, the best of you?
John and myself are enjoying that anyway, Larissa.
Yeah. And there are very few people who talk as passionately about music and their love of it as Dave Grohl does.
Yeah, no, I know that. And I should like him, but, you know, I just don't like him as an artist. You know, at least I suppose he's friendly in comparison to Kurt, who, I mean, I saw them in 1991 in The Point, and it was a fantastic gig, and I'm really glad I was there. Kurt came out, I remember, in a wheelchair or on crutches or something, and he had pink hair, and it was amazingly musically, but he showed utter contempt for his own audience. I mean, he just didn't like us. You know, he didn't like what kind of people had become attracted to Nirvana. I mean, John, you were just saying there's this kind of rednecky element to it.
He said once, and I'm paraphrasing, that he looks out in the audience and he sees all the people who he was railing against in his songs, like jocks, you know, university jocks.
Yeah, he wrote songs about it. I mean, there's a song on Nevermind, I know, that kind of directly addresses that, but it didn't feel good. You could feel the hostility. Mm. I mean, I know, you know, he died then shortly afterwards, so obviously there was something more to it than that, but it wasn't a comfortable place to be as a person person in the audience to feel that hostility of the guy you were there and that you
but
kind
never
of
never mind,
worship.
It's one of the all-time great albums, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, that's Foo Fighters for August next year, I think it is. The tickets are going on sale this week for the RDS. We have a couple of big concerts on this week or some. Culture Club.
Ah, Culture Club. Who doesn't love Boy George? He's one of rock and pop's greatest characters.
Yeah, he's a pioneer as well. I mean, he was so different to everybody else and just didn't care.
Yeah, I remember they had, I think, last year Comic Relief celebrates the 80s and they had a bunch of contemporaries and older singers singing songs from the 80s and Purple Rain started up and I went, oh Jesus, who are they going to get to do this? And I said, it was Boy George.
Oh, yeah.
I said, one of the few people who actually deserves to sing Purple Rain. But he messed it up.
Did you give it a bit of a reggae touch?
It was awful.
I love the reggae style of Culture Club.
He sang
it's
it terribly. But by and large, Boy George and Culture Club, you got to love them. You have to. They're like classic singles. He is never less than entertaining in interview. And he's just really, really likeable, isn't he?
Yeah, which is a lovely speaking voice as well as a lovely singing voice.
Yeah, of course he's Irish, that's part.
Mm. Well, actually, as I remember, I think wasn't he once on the Late Late Show in the 80s with Gay Byrne? And of course, the most significant thing was not all of the things we'll remember about Boy George. It was, you're Irish.
Yeah.
George O'Dowd.
I remember seeing their first performance on Top of the Pops when I was very young, but we had English cousins over and they were staying with us, and the next morning it was at the breakfast table. It was literally that old cliche, was that a boy or a girl?
Oh, yeah.
We were all wondering on the telly last night, was that a boy or a girl?
I think that was what was intriguing about him for me.
Yeah.
You know, when we saw him first.
We'd
of
never
all,
seen anything like him before.
He was gorgeous as both.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of, I loved that about him.
Yeah, he was.
Still gorgeous now.
Okay, let's hear a little bit of Do You Really Want to Hurt Me?
Back on air. He was going out with the drummer, Boy George and John Moss had a very tempestuous relationship, part of which was the reason for an original breakup of Culture Club.
I wonder were the songs written like within Fleetwood Mac?
Oh, well, quite possibly. I'd say there's a few songs about John Moss now written by Boy George.
Imran Belturbet says, Prince covered Best of You during the Super Bowl halftime.
He did.
Unrecognisable. Foo Fighters can't be bad when Prince is covering you.
That's a very good point. Very good point.
Also this week, we have Shame are playing.
Yes. Do you want to talk about them, Larissa, or no?
Okay, well, I've only come across this. I don't know what to say, depressing young band recently.
Here we go.
I see they're in The Guardian talking about how they're offended by everything. So there's two things there. There's The Guardian and I'm offended, which for starters.
They're two of your favourite things.
Yeah. apparently he finds the idea of people wearing leather jackets and being womanizers and drink-fueled nights out, they're offensive and they're dysfunctional and damaging. So this is the new rock and roll, guys. Brilliant fun, it sounds. I wonder how long it'll last, though. They're only 20, so maybe they'll get bored of that after a while.
They're probably that hand-wringing phase of their adulthood, you know, where everything has to be PC.
Yeah, well, I suppose the new punk is.
It doesn't make for great
then.
Rock music, though.
No, when I listened to it, I thought, aha, there we go. That's why it's not very good.
I like Shame, and I think very early on this year I made it my pick of the week. But they've sort of been leapfrogged by Idols, who have released their second album. They're a similar type of band. Joy as an Act of Resistance is Idols' album, and they sort of have overtaken Shame. And I don't know.
Joy have, or who have?
Idols have.
Idols have,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
But without the puritanical streak.
They're proper punk. Yeah.
Sounds good. But the song is terrible. It's like a song in search of a chorus.
Which one? We have one riz left. Is that the one?
Yeah, desperately in search of a chorus. Never finds it, though.
Okay, well, I've also been told I have to issue a language warning in relation to one riz.
Probably Larissa.
Well,
I think it's fair to say they did find the chorus.
A god-awful one, maybe. But, I mean, even the title of the album, is it called Songs of Praise?
Yes.
Because they're the band for the new clergy. But thankfully, they at least let loose with the bad language there, just to let us know that they actually are rebels.
Yeah, well, he's obviously not offended by bad language.
Okay. Dara wants to know, are Pearl Jam playing in Ireland next year? Lots of rumours going around about two nights in Malahide Castle. I haven't heard anything.
I haven't heard a thing.
There's an enormous way. Would love to see Pearl Jam. I would go to see Pearl Jam as well.
Absolutely. Jeremy Sporkin. You've seen them now.
Yeah, I think they're a bit lumpen. Pearl Jam, I think they're
He's a great singer. Oh, no, Eddie Vedder's fantastic. What are you messing? Because I'm always saying about in the 90s, everyone sang like that. It was like you had to sing with that kind of back of your throat thing. Actually, I see John is like, oh, you're like Old Moore. You were able to tell that the Spice Girls were going to announce a gig, and then they did.
I'm telling you, look, if you ever want any bands to reform, just get me to talk about it.
They did. No, but they came back to Dublin. Remember, they were all freaking out. They weren't coming to Dublin. You said they will come
before
to Dublin.
Before the break, we have to talk about Breakup, which came just after we went off air last week. The Stripes. Young Irish group, The Stripes.
Yeah.
Now, personally, I'm very fond of the lads in The Stripes because I performed with them once in the Workman's Club.
Here we go.
With Prezi as well. I know, but I mean, it's the only time I got on stage and sang, so I have to mention it. Yeah. And we recorded together up in Prezi's studios off Cambridge Street as well. Very talented guys.
Yeah, I interviewed them back in Phantom days, or maybe it was early TXFM days, and there was the four of them in the studio, and they were really, really nice lads.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I was maybe using a bit of language off air, and Josh...
Not like you.
No, but Josh, the guitarist, said, you know,
Please, Mr. McCadell, can you actually behave yourself?
Well, not too far removed from that. And I'm not taking away his rock and roll cred at all, but he was like, you know, we don't really go on like that.
Oh, fair enough. I mean, they did seem lovely lads. The only problem is they were, it seemed very, very talented, very ambitious, and obviously they got very far. They were on Jules Holland, they were signed to Elton John's entertainment group. But the problem with them was they were just too derivative, you know, because they were young, probably it was the only thing that, you know, the
only
way they could get.
They hadn't found their own voice.
Exactly. Yeah, I found that. But I think that might have been suffocating creatively. I think they'll actually do really well when they split up.
Well, I think they may. Obviously, the marketing angle was that they were young and that they were steeped in sort of, you know, classic Canvey Island R&B like Dr. Feelgood. But I think they tried to break away from that derivation, if that's a word, with the last album, Spitting Image. And it just didn't seem to happen for them. And so what do you do then? Do you go and be a parody of yourself, or do you, you know, try and do something new again and maybe, you know, banging your head against a wall?
Okay, on the way to the break, let's take some Blue Collar Jane.
She just wants some milk and
off air, Larissa Nolan and John Cadell have been trying to outdo each other with Eddie Vedder impressions. Anyway, Eugene in Tallaght says, Bill Bailey had a song, How Can I Feel Pain When You've Been So Supportive? That's what that Shame song reminded me of. Okay, let's get Picks of the Week in case we run out of time. You're going for Kate Bush, John. Why so?
Well, her entire back catalogue has been remastered and is being repackaged in two box sets. The first one covers all of her albums up to and including 1993's The Red Shoes. And that's the box set that is out now. And then next week, you're going to get everything from 93 up to date, including a disc of rarities and B-sides and stuff like that. So she hasn't exactly raided the vaults for this one, but it's Kate presenting her work and taking an interest in her back catalogue.
How much of a fan are both of you?
I'd be a big enough fan. I wouldn't have been big enough a fan to try and get tickets for her London shows back a few years ago, because that was, I'd leave it to people who really want to see her. But always interested in what she does. And always
somebody else who went on the Late Late Show to be asked by Gay Byrne about being Irish.
Kate Bush?
Yeah.
Yep.
She's from Waterford.
Yeah, her mother's from Waterford. Kate Bush has defined my life. She's the artist that has defined my life. You know, she was the first musical artist that I got really, really into, and has followed me all the way. I'm the biggest fan of Kate Bush. So absolutely love her. But all you have to do in my house is just take down all my albums and then
you have the
my
box set.
Which
track have you picked out, John?
It's a single, one of her strongest singles, I think, but it's a bit, you know, it's a bit quirky and, well, Kate Bush.
Yeah, idiosyncratic.
And I think seems to be throwaway to a lot of people, but I love it. It's from The Red Shoes and it's Rubber Band Girl.
I think Kate Bush is the best female artist alive today and of our generation. And that's
you're big into her lyrics as well.
Yeah, I mean, she's bringing out a book of lyrics then as well. She's bringing out a book of poetry. So that'd be fantastic. I find it even hard to kind of even read them out because they move me that much. But even if you just look at Kate's lyrics, they are like poetry. Even from running up that hill, just the simplicity of, you know, if only I could, I'd make a deal with God. But then when she writes about kind of women's issues and her mother and the nostalgia. I mean, there's nothing like it's very, very emotional. Like there's this one place where she says, in moments of pleasure, do you ever hear that song? She says, I can hear my mother saying, every old sock needs an old shoe. And she goes, isn't that a great saying? And it's the way she says it. You can just actually feel her mother in the room.
I also love what she did with Peter Gabriel, you know, and
Don't
Give Up was one of my favourite songs of all time. It's just beautifully sung by both of them. What's your pick of the week, Larissa?
So mine is Smashing Pumpkins are back with a new album and it's called Shiny and Oh So Bright, Volume 1. No past, no future, no sun. So it's quite a long title, a typical Billy Corgan type thing to do. Minus Darcy Retzky, by the way, which do a lot of people's dismay. But I think this is such an important band of the 90s.
And you've picked a track called?
Now, the new song is called Ghosts, I believe.
Snap like a dragon.
And Unfortunately, we're nearly out of time, so we have to come back from that. My apologies. Now, one of the most unusual messages I've had in a while, as sent in by Jason O'Toole. I didn't know this, that Boy George apparently appeared on the A-Team as himself during the 1980s.
Yes, he did. Wasn't he B.A. Baracus's cousin or something? It was something. And I remember the scene, he kicks in a door or something with his black hair spiked up. This is Boy George. It was mental.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.